like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Okay, thank you. This is Avery Doria. I was asked by Robin to chair this meeting because she's in the process of going through security and getting ready to board. She said she would try to join us if she could, and I'm hoping she does, though knowing what we know about airports, it's possible that she'll have difficulty. Okay. So going through the agenda that was sent out by Robin, and I suppose I should also go through who's here, but let me see. I'm trying to get to the attendance place. No, I can't seem to get it. I can't seem to get the meeting view that has everybody that's dialed in for some reason. So I'll just leave that. Although perhaps, Julie, I wouldn't ask you to do the call of who was here for the record, but since I can't see the phone chart, I'm wondering if you'd be willing to do a roll call for me, please.
Sure. On meeting view.
Yeah, I tried that. I couldn't get the code or thing to work, so.
Sure. On meeting view, you have Olivier Kouami.
Yes.
Amar El-Sadj.
Yeah,
and
yes.
Ivan Lebovic.
Okay, so everybody else is attending through the through Adobe Connect, where I see Klaus Stahl, Magali, Mike Pelage, Ron Wickersham, Rudy Van Stick, and Sam LaFranco. Is there anyone else that I have forgotten? Okay, moving along. And if anyone else comes in that I notice, I will announce them later. So, in terms of the agenda today, we had first a discussion of the intersessional meeting in L.A., update from participants, and then next steps and follow-ups. Then item two on the agenda was the preparation for the GNSO Council meeting later this week on the 14th, where there are items such as the straw man model, trademark clearinghouse and blocking. There's the issue of special privileges for Red Cross, Olympic Committee, IGOs. There's number three, so-called closed generic TLDs. There's number four, the issue of policy versus implementation. There's five, who is privacy proxy relay and reveal study. There's six, issue on all proxies, just making sure we have all our proxies in place for this meeting. Then item three was the prep for the Beijing ICANN meeting. And then finally, there was any other business. At this point, I'd like to ask, does anybody have any other business that should be added to the agenda right away? I'll come back and ask again at the end of the meeting, but if anybody knows of anything that they'd like to discuss, letting me know now would allow me to put it on the agenda. Okay. Thank you. I see that Didi Halleck has joined. Yes, please, someone want to speak?
Yeah. Any other business? I was just hoping you'd add an update on the FIC who is working group.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? That's FIC with a K. Okay. Anything else? Okay. In which case, we'll start with... Yes, sorry. Am I speaking over someone that wants to speak? If you're in Adobe, please use the raising hand. I am watching the Adobe. If you're not on Adobe, obviously just speak up and say, I need the floor. Okay, I don't see anyone asking for the floor on the agenda, so we'll follow this agenda. Okay, so going back to agenda item number one, it was the discussion of the intersessional meeting in L.A., and there was an update from participants. So I guess of the participants there, is there anyone that would like to start off on this? There was nothing actually planned. I see that in terms of the people that participated, we've got a few. We've got Magali, we've got Klaus, we've got myself. I'm not sure who else that participated happens to be on this call. No one. Does anyone want to start with their with an update from the participants? Or is it somehow left to me to ramble on? Okay. Oh, yes, Klaus, please. The floor is yours.
Yes, just to relieve Afri a little bit. A lot of people might have heard, and I heard after the meeting, a lot of comments about that it's been some kind of love fest and that everybody agreed and everything was fine. I think I would characterize the meeting from another point of view. Everybody tried to do their best to be reasonable, to be understandable, constructive, and supportive. But it has become clear, and during the meeting and after the meeting, that we have a number of huge items which have to be addressed and needs to be discussed in ICANN that starts from the new GDLD, goes over the finance and into the outreach, just to name a few topics. I think there is a lot of hard thinking and even more hard work necessary in the next few weeks and months. And to be also absolutely honest with you, everybody is very much impressed with Buddy and how he started, despite some small snafus on the way. I just wonder how he can keep up the pace, and I feel he needs a lot of more support, including from us, to keep going. That's all. I'm sorry to be so non-committal.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this now? I'm in the process of uploading the the report that came out from David Olive on this, and Klaus, did you want to say something else, or I see your hand is still up, so okay, so I don't know that I would have called it a love fest either, though I actually do think it was a fairly good walkthrough of the issues that we have before us. I have now put the report from David on the screen in case anybody wants to look at it. I assume I have left things in such a way that you can scroll through it yourself. Klaus, you see your hand is up, please. Oh, it's not up. Okay. So basically, from my view, I don't know how much progress was made on any particular subject. I do believe that the people that were there from the non-commercial side did manage to convince at least some of the people there that non-commercial points of view were worth having and that they should work harder at getting them. I think that was probably an overall theme that the people participating really pounded in, that they really need to, for legitimacy, for completeness, for having other perspectives, what have you, they really needed to make sure that they talked to us much more, make sure that they included us in the conversations. We certainly made strong points about needing to... please don't make me echo, needing to find ways to make sure that we followed the PDP processes and that we did not try to shortchange that. There was certainly admission from Fadi and others that, yes, they realized that it was important to follow procedure and that trying to shortcut it had led to less than favorable results. So I think that's something that has gotten through. Whether our understanding of following procedure and their understanding of following procedure is the same remains to be seen. Certainly in terms of one of the issues that got discussed there and is on the GNSO agenda for this week in terms of what's policy, what's implementation, you know, depending on how that gets answered or your perception of that question, following process has different results. So that's something that needs. We certainly met, you know, a cast of senior characters, you know, and who are in the new roles, and I think that was a very good part of the meeting. We had some informal times where we got to talk. We even got to sit and talk with some of the commercial stakeholder group and managed to work out some issues like how to resolve the issue of the new vice chair for the council from the so-called non-contracted parties house. So that's pretty much my view of it. I thought it was a good 2 days. I found that without, I think, becoming you know, one of those that trusts too much, which is always difficult to me, trust at all, let alone trust too much, that I did have a better feeling about Fadi and where he's taking, you know, things after the meeting than I had before. It doesn't mean that I'm not still as skeptical as anything, et cetera, but I was certainly, you know, convinced that an attempt is being made. Maybe wool was pulled over my eyes, and time will tell that. But you know, that's where I fell on it. A few more people have joined that were at that meeting. Mary was at that meeting, and I see she's joined. So I wonder if anyone else wants to add anything before we move on. One last thing I should add, and good, Sam has his hand up. One good thing I should add is that those of us that went should be producing a report for the rest of the stakeholder group. I know I have to write about the policy versus implementation part, but we haven't gotten it done yet, and so on. So, okay, Sam, please, the floor is yours.
I know I have the policy versus implementation part.
Excuse me? Sam, I don't know where the echo was coming from, but please shut your microphones if you're not speaking. Thank you. Sam, the floor is yours. Are you perhaps muted? I don't hear Sam. Does anyone else hear Sam? I see Rudy's writing that there is a huge light. See, no one seems to hear him. Sam has put his hand down. So would anybody else like to comment who was at that meeting? I hear no. Okay. Sam is typing. I'm wondering whether it would be better if I dialed in than tried to use the Adobe Connect. I'm trying to use the Adobe Connect, but I could dial in. Okay, just Sam said his mic was working and seems to have stopped.
Yes. I'll let the phone, I'll join you by Adobe Connection because it's working now.
Okay, so please, go ahead.
Okay.
So, Sam, did you want to say something, or? Okay, I guess not. Anyone else, or should I call this item done? Okay, I see no one. It's unfortunate that none of the other people that are there have anything to add at this point. As I say, the next steps to come out of it. One of them was written was a possible letter to ICANN requesting input in the org's engagement plans. I think that part of that one was that, the engagement plans are very business-oriented, and they're doing a good job of going out and getting what all sorts of business organizations think about this, that, and the other thing. It was a very apparent gap to any of us that were there that non-commercial did not figure in the engagement plans being formed. So, as I said at the beginning, I think we made it clear that they need to include the non-commercial world and such in their engagement plans and include the diversity of that world in their engagement plans. And I think Robin believes that we should possibly follow that up with a letter. The other thing that came out of the discussion was an awareness on Fadi's part and ours that he didn't really know what it was that we thought was important about various issues or even in terms of the issues themselves. So therefore, there was a request that we produce a set of what got called cheat sheets, one or two page maximum statements on what the non-commercial position or positions, if we happen to have a multiplicity of views, were on particular critical issues to ICANN. This is a task that I believe we are taking on in the NCSG Policy Committee. As part of that policy committee, I'm a NCUC appointee to that committee. I encourage both of our constituencies and others to sort of contribute from a constituency point of view what they think are the critical issues. I think that as a policy committee for the NCSG, we'll take responsibility for drafting first drafts and for bringing them to the NCSG discuss list for further discussion, so that hopefully we can boil down our viewpoints to one or two pages. Open it up to questions. I do see that Sam has written his comments, so I'll read it. 2 points. The ICANN administration vision of outreach is a bit short of the mark in terms of what to get out and how to get it out. The other point is that any successful outreach will pose serious challenges to the multi-stakeholder model with echoes of Dubai. I was quoting a comment from Sam Lanfranco from the Adobe chat, since he's having problems speaking. And from Mary, there was a comment, we'll need to decide who and what to put on the various cheat sheets, probably sooner rather than later, since Fadi seems to really want to get them from us. That's one of the reasons I have sort of started, I've built a table within the NCSG Policy Committee wiki space, and I'm hoping to try and get the various participants that attended the NCSG, attended the non-contracted parties house meeting to contribute and others, looking for volunteers. Klaus says, I'd be interested to contribute to the outreach letter. I think that was the one that Robin was speaking of. And Rudy said, what's the timeline for this? and I think it's really as soon as we can get it done. There was no specific timeline made, but the sooner we have a cheat sheet, the sooner we can send these things to Fadi saying, this is what counts, this is what is important, the better. So I'm looking at the cheat sheet as real soon now. Perhaps somebody else that was at the meeting that has a better view of how soon can go further. Klaus asks, who else is interested to contribute? Indeed, who else is interested to contribute? Saying so here is good. Saying something on the discuss list is good. Amr, you have your hand raised, please. Oh, you took a hand down. Bummer. Okay.
Sorry. My hand's back up. Sorry about
that. Okay, go ahead.
I forgot to unmute my mic. I was just wondering about what the engagement plans are exactly. Are we talking about the regional outreach plans or something else? Can you hear me?
Yes, I heard you, and I was on mute when I started to answer. Okay. Klaus, you have your hand up. Please, go ahead.
Yeah, I think we need to send a letter basically looking not only on the regional outreach plan, but on the overall direction and of the ICANN outreach. As Afri said, it looks like they are doing a brilliant job into the direction of private sector, and there is not much going on into the direction of the NGO and the nonprofit community. And I think there should be really some explanation why it is important and how it can be done.
Thank you. One other thing I want to add, just so it's on the record from this call, I sent Fadi a private note after the meeting, basically in reference to the roundtables he's been having, and suggested that, you know, in addition to having roundtables with business leaders, et cetera, that he really should have roundtables with the executive directors of some of the NGOs that are in fields that are involved with internet governance and such as that, and that he also really needed to have a roundtable with some of the academic luminaries in the field of internet governance, and that it wasn't just the perspectives of people in business, again, that he needed to get in roundtables, but he needed to get all of us in some way. And I'll be following up on that to see what can be organized. And as more is known, if I get anywhere, I'll certainly inform the group on this effort. Let me see. Dee Dee put in a note that people are saying it's a great initiative, so let me go back and find it. Dee Dee said, I am interested in reaching out to media makers, independent filmmakers, and public access producers, since the internet seems to be the main source for distribution at this point. Okay, thank you. Does seem like a good initiative. So, anything else that anybody wants to ask or say or what have you about the non-contracted party house encounter in L.A.? I think it was a good thing for them to do, and I'm glad that I was able to go. I feel that I gained from the experience, even though I must admit that before getting on the plane, I was kicking myself saying, what am I doing this for? And on attendance, I found out that it was really a good way to spend a couple days. Okay. So, yes, Klaus.
I'm sorry that I'm speaking so much, and some people might have problems to hear me, but I think we really should make some decisions about the sheet and the letter. And from my point, I volunteer with the help of others to produce a first draft about the outreach or engagement letter, and we should talk about who would work on the cheat sheet.
Well, within the cheat sheets, I think it's good if there are volunteers. Please check the table. Let me see if I can find... too many inputs at the same time. I'm starting to get dizzy. Okay. I did put together a table of the cheat sheets within the wiki. And so one of the good things would be for people that want to volunteer for that to say something. Let me see if I can find the page of it. So that cheat sheets, policy cheat sheets. Okay. I'm definitely multitasking to my disadvantage at the moment. The policy cheat sheets are there. You'll notice that I volunteered to work on one of them. No one else has volunteered yet. I think, you know, getting involved and volunteering. Now, I'm hoping that at least Robin had gotten at least one volunteer per topic at the meeting in LA to basically lead off the discussion. So we had someone lead off the discussion in new GTLDs, someone to lead off the discussion in the RAA, etc. In all these topics, we had a discussion leader. Robin had hoped, and if she listens to the call, she can correct anything I misspeak when I say she hoped. She had hoped that each of those leaders would contribute a paragraph or two to our report about the non-contracted party house meeting in LA. And my hope was that those paragraphs or two would be the seed around which we would build these cheat sheets. Because what indeed we did speak about was each of those topic leaders did try to put on the table what their concerns were, and that was when Fadi listened to those and said, oh, interesting, I need to know more. So it really would be good if at least one of the volunteers on each of these topics was the person who led the discussion in LA, simply to get it started. But I think getting other volunteers would be a good thing too. So I've posted there, you know, please contact me or any of the other people that are on the NCSG policy committee, which is composed of the six GNSO elected council members plus two representatives from each of the constituencies. So, you know, come to any of us and say, I want to volunteer on this. Send a paragraph to the NCSG discuss list saying, here's my contribution to a cheat sheet on this. You know, we don't have enough people writing stuff. One of the definite problems we have is too few people are writing too little. And we need to have way more people writing way more. So please, if you want to volunteer, let us know that you want to volunteer. If you want to volunteer to write something, just write something. And it will be used as a contribution to help get something written. Okay, I see Rudy is willing to get involved with registration, user roles, and I will put the cheat thing in edit mode right now so I can write his name in. My slow computer responds to me. Waiting for cache. Okay, there it is. Rudy, anyone else wish to volunteer for anything? And I see Amr signing up for who is. Any other volunteers while I'm at it? And thank you, Klaus, for motivating me to actually collect names. Anyone else? Okay, well, as I say, at another time, at a later time, please, if you've got some time, you're inclined to write things, and hopefully... Hello?
For some reason, my text won't write in, but I I'm just confused by the word cheat sheet. I'm not all that familiar with that kind of terminology. But I'd be happy to write something on outreach to media and why that.
Okay, outreach to media wasn't one of the issues, but sure, I'll put it down. I think outreach to media was more part of that letter to ICANN requesting input on the org's engagement plans, but the cheat sheets were basically, I believe it was Fadi's term, and it was basically something like, you know, and perhaps it's only an Americanism, I'm sure every country has a name for it, the kind of one-pager that you wrote up to read right before an exam so you remember what it is you think. In this case, that's what it is. It's not a complete volume of everything the NCSG believes about an issue. It's can we encapsulate in one page, two page maximum, what is important so that when someone wants a quick reference, whether it's one of our council members, whether it's one of us, whether it's a newcomer into the NCSG, there's something they can look at and quickly have an idea. Oh, yeah, these are the issues that we care about, and these are this. And then perhaps it has a pointer to a more expansive discussion, but a cheat sheet is just a brief snapshot, a brief, you know, short thing. I'm sure that Wikipedia or someone else has a good developed definition of what a cheat sheet is. Anyway.
Well, it could also be, I mean, wouldn't it be like what would be on the web page?
Yes. Yes. The cheat sheets will indeed, once we have them and have put them through an NCSG discuss, comment period, and editing process, would definitely be, you know, supplied. Perhaps they'd be the introduction on a wiki page that then goes into greater detail about subjects. I'm not quite sure how it would get organized, but certainly once they're written, they'll get used. Okay, thank you. Anybody else on this stuff? Okay, nope. In which case, I'll end the discussion on point one, the discussion of the intersessional meeting in L.A., and move on, please, to you know, to the issue of the upcoming council meeting. As people know, these meetings are always scheduled just before the council meeting, once a month, just to basically go through the issues, and hopefully we have full participation of our council members, or at least as full as possible, so that they know the views of the membership that attend in terms of the discussions, and also so that they can explain to us, you know, what is going on in the council, because they're the ones that know best what's going on in the council. They have a very active GNSO council list, which while we can read it by going to the archive, you know, they have an immediacy with it. We have, I guess, one of our council members attending, which one out of six is better than none out of six, but unfortunately we don't have many. And that is unfortunately a problem that we have with many of these meetings, that it's just hard to get our council members to participate in these meetings. Anyway, going to the agenda, and let me repost it, although it is written in there, stop a gen, okay. Shared document. So the first item on the agenda is the straw man model for the trademark clearinghouse and blocking. I have put the NCSG's statement on that in the window. Again, you should be able to scroll through it as needed. I don't believe, I may be wrong, and Magdali, please correct me if I'm Magdali, please correct me if I'm wrong or if anyone else knows, but I don't believe there's any motions being voted on at this meeting. I went and checked the motions page, and I didn't see any motions, so perhaps it's just a meeting of discussions, but maybe someone can correct that. Okay. By the way, Klaus, I see you discussing the outreach letter and such, not being one to want to volunteer other people for tasks, but I recommend that Robin be included in the loop on any outreach letter if possible. No need to include me. I'm just volunteering Robin. Okay, does anybody wish to make any comments on the straw man discussion, trademark clearinghouse and blocking? It was certainly a topic that came up in L.A. Anyone? Okay, Mary, please. Mary, you've got the floor. Maybe mute. Mary says, oops, mic not on. Sorry, carry on. I've got nothing to say on this. I think my main issue was it was a process error. And I think the process error has been recognized. That's why there's a comment period now. I'll leave it to other people to talk about it. Anyone have a comment? If not, I'll move on to the next issue. Yes, Amr, please.
Yeah, hi. I'm full of questions. I'm not going to comment. I'm going to ask a question again. On the agenda we got over email, it said the council, regarding the straw man model, the council was to continue to discuss, one, a response to the ICANN CEO request, regarding the straw man model, and two, to consider whether to undertake any additional work related to the BC/IPC proposal and or the staff briefing paper on the topic of second-level defensive registrations. By undertaking any additional work, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean that a motion will be created, or will a working group be created to discuss this? What exactly is additional work?
Okay. Thank you. This is Avery. I'll take a guess, probably an educated guess. First of all, there won't be any motions in that particular meeting. Motions require a week in advance, and therefore that that won't happen. Additional work, in my mind, should be, some of these things were policy issues. Anything that's a policy issue within the GNSO needs to go through a PDP. So if the GNSO were to decide that any of these were things that perhaps should be worked on further, what I would assume should happen, and there's a whole lot of, qualifications in this, is that an issues report would be requested on that policy topic, and that issues report would come out in a draft form and then a final form, at which point the GNSO would vote on doing a PDP. If the PDP was approved, there would be a working group to do it. There would also be coming up with a charter and the milestones and all that stuff. Okay. Oh, good. Wolfgang has entered. Now we've got 2 out of 6 of our council members, so we've hit a third, and that's wonderful. So I think that's what more work would be. Now, there could be other kinds of more work if there's a lack of clarity on, is this policy or is this implementation? Somebody might bring up some other notion of a way to detangle things. I don't know. That's really up to the council and its discussion. But in terms of policy work, that would, to my mind, require a PDP. Anyone else want to comment on straw man model, trademark clearinghouse, and blocking issue? Wolfgang, for your benefit, since you just came in, We've already gone through the talking about the LA meeting, and we're now on the first item of the GNSO Council meeting agenda. And, you know, I certainly, as one of the council members, I invite you or Magali to speak up any time to let us know what you're thinking as our council members. Okay. Anything else on straw man, model, trademark clearinghouse, and locking? They say people have had the opportunity to read the letter. It's been sent. The reference is in the agenda that Robin sent out. It was really quite a good and long statement that covered just about everything. Okay, Rudy asks, how far is the trademark clearinghouse in a final implementation phase, or is it still in the discussion? I think the trademark clearinghouse functionality is definitely in implementation phase. I think the policy on how that trademark clearinghouse is used is still very much in discussion. Is how I would divide it. Certainly, there were all kinds of technical issues about the operations of the trademark clearinghouse itself. I think those have largely been ironed out and such. But whether the period is longer, whether there's other things that can be registered, whether the registrations can be used for blocking or not, those are all policy issues that indeed are still open and still under discussion. Implementation is done on the basis of, I'm reading from Rudy again, this means the implementation is done on basis of pragmatic approaches and will show later in how far it is really useful. I think what has been implemented is the method by which trademark holders register and the methods by which registries and registrars check that database. In other words, that's the part that has essentially been done, the operations of the database. And certainly for, you know, some of the more agreed, the sunrise periods and, you know, the 30 to 60 day periods of trademark challenge, those things and their operations are fairly well set. Does the challenge period last longer? Those things are under discussion. Can the trademark clearinghouse be used as a blocking device? That's, you know, very much under discussion. In fact, wasn't even part of the straw man, as I understand it. So hopefully I've answered the questions. Anyone else have a question or a comment on that? I'm doing way too much talking. Really wish other people would talk. Anyway. Okay. I'll move on to number two, which was special privileges for Red Cross, Olympic committees, IGOs. While I'm changing the screen, someone else would like to raise their hand and start talking about this issue. Wolfgang or Magali or someone that's in one of the groups. Shared document. And that's... okay. What I'm putting up on the screen now, thank you, Wolfgang, your hand is up. What I've put on the screen is the statement that was sent in from the NCSG in response to the IGO-NGO group's requests from the stakeholder groups and constituencies. Wolfgang, the floor is yours. Wolfgang, are you muted? Wolfgang, is your microphone on? I don't know. talking through Adobe Connect seems to work for me, but you have to have enabled your microphone in order for it to work. So, Wolfgang, please, your hand is up. Please say something. No, we cannot hear you, Wolfgang. Have you turned on your microphone? I'm not sure how to help. Okay, Wolfgang says he's going to try to call in. Anyone else wish to comment while we're waiting for Wolfgang to come through? The working group has been quite an active working group. We meet weekly, divided into six teams, ranging from describing the problem through qualification criteria down to the group that I've been asked to team lead, which is admission criteria. Anybody that's truly interested, I recommend reading the email list. Some of the discussions have been really quite interesting. And we got another, okay. Have been quite interesting and quite detailed, and the perspectives are very much coming out. And also, it has been a really fine effort by the chair to try and keep all of these things balancing. So, Wolfgang, are you with us yet? Okay. Wolfgang is typing. After a year and a half of not sharing these NCSG meetings, it's an interesting experience doing it again. Okay, please. Looking for input from someone. Got lots of people typing. Mary, I see your hand is up. While waiting for Wolfgang, please take the floor.
Right, I thought I would jump in just to do this. You guys can hear me now, right?
Poorly, but yes.
That's a part of Adobe. I was very obvious because I may have missed it. Can we go to the date for which some of these decisions may be due from the council or from the board?
If it goes through the what?
The date.
The dates? No, we didn't. I can, though. I have also created yet another table that tries to bring that out visibly. And let me see if I can find that. And I'll put that up there. Okay. That is saved. And that's the public comments page. Please don't make me echo.
David, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Oh, my God, and we've got echo. Please.
So that means hopefully I'm now on the phone. Yes?
Yes, can we hear can me? Hear you. Yes.
Okay. My main point as a member of this working group, my conclusion so far is that we are going in circles and there is no real progress. Because the main issue is that there are different approaches by the Governmental Advisory Committee, by the board, and also by the GNSO. So the Governmental Advisory Committee says, we have to have this protection in a top-down approach. There is no need for a policy. We just have to implement it. The board more or less wants to please the GAC and says, special protections are needed. While the GNSO and the working group under Thomas Rickert came to the conclusion, okay, if we start with exceptions, we end in the nowhere land. But it means we need a certain policy which defines certain rules under which conditions special exceptions and special protection mechanisms are needed. And insofar, you know, the council is now in a rather delicate position because it's not on the same page, neither with the board nor with the GAC. And one of the main arguments in the group is that we say, okay, why the existing mechanisms to protect special names in the applicant guidebook are not sufficient enough to settle all the issues which are now put forward by the Red Cross, by the IOC, and by intergovernmental organizations, and the undefined number of non-governmental organizations. So we have not yet a practical test that the existing mechanisms are not sufficient enough to protect all these special cases. So we are more or less now in a triangular conflict situation where the GAC just tells us that there is no need for a policy, you just have to implement what we have said. And we said, wait a minute, you know, if we start this way, then we open a box of Pandora and we have an endless chain of exceptions for all kinds of reasons, and we try to define criteria at this moment, you know, under which conditions a certain exception or, let's say, additional protection mechanism is justified or not. And the board, in my eyes, is maneuvering and tries to have a good relationship with the GAC for other reasons, because, you know, they need the GAC to support the next steps forward, but not yet made a very clear position to all this. So in the working group, we have discussed in the area, you know, to use some, let's say, external sources, either a legal study, which would make very clear that in existing international law and national legislation, the special protection mechanisms are justified, or that we say, okay, give us a list where another organization which has a certain procedure can provide us, you know, with a certain number of names, and then we just, you know, take this list and say, okay, this needs special protection, as John Postel did it with the ISO 3166 list when he declared that he is not in a position to decide what a country is, and then he discovered the International Standardization Organization list 3166 and say, okay, we just take this list. So that means we have for the intergovernmental organization a certain list or, let's say, criteria under which intergovernmental organization can get a .int domain. So this was the proposal by the Governmental Advisory Committee. So this could settle the problem for the intergovernmental organization. But we do not have such a list for non-governmental organization, and we have still the problem with the Red Cross and the International Olympic Committee, because the two cases are rather different, and we have confusing discussions about, you know, where really a misuse is there. The Red Cross continues to argue that, you know, the misuse of the Red Cross name in emergency cases, you know, has tremendous consequences, evenly, you know, as Zahid has argued in one of the council meetings, will risk life because, you know, there are a lot of criminals are using Red Cross then to collect money in emergency cases. While the Olympic Committee is rather different, there are so many other organizations which use the term, you know, Olympus or Olympic Airways, the Greek Airlines, or Olympia, the city in Greece, and a lot of other. So that, these are two different truths, and we have not yet reached really a certain a moment of consensus. It's, as I said in the beginning, you know, we are circling around the main issues, and I do not see any very concrete decision in the coming in the next meeting. Also, that means it needs much more consultations among the board, the GAC, and the GNSO Council. Thank you. Back to you, Dave.
Again, thank you. Wolfgang, I have Rudy with his hand up. Please.
Yes, thanks, Avi. Rudy here. Yeah, thanks, Wolfgang, and I would like to continue a little bit on what you were exploring and explaining. It's really confusing that just like Red Cross, the IOC, are trying to get protection in the domain name space than there is outside the domain name space. For me, it's confusing that the reasons they are trying to put on the table are should be the same in the other world. When I say the other world is outside of the domain name space, they have these issues too. So why all of a sudden, inside the domain name space, they need more protection? They can use the trademark as a kind of protection to protect their names. If they put it in, no one can steal it anymore, if you may say. So I'm confused about the fact that ICANN is, in fact, fulfilling the requests of those organizations. It's a bit strange for me.
Yes, Rudy, you are absolutely right. This is strange, and in my eyes, let's say suspicion came in my eyes that both the Red Cross and the IOC are headquartered in Switzerland, but their case is pushed forward by lawyers from Washington, D.C. And I had a discussion with a representative from a former representative of the Swiss government who was absolutely angry that the case of the Red Cross is not pushed forward by the Swiss government, but by the U.S. government with the support of Washington, D.C.-based lawyers. So there is a certain suspicion that the IOC and the Red Cross is used as a door opener for an endless chain of exceptions for a large group of organizations and trademark owners, you know, which have opposed the new GTLD program from the very early beginning and which were fighting for the special hearing in December in the U.S. Congress the other year, and which are more or less represented by the ANA, the Association of National Advertisers in the U.S., you know, which is very negative to the new GTLD program. So this is a little bit the political background as I see it. You know, I have no evidence that there is a linkage, but I'm really a little bit confused that two organizations headquartered in Switzerland are represented by American lawyers from Washington, D.C.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wish to comment? In the meantime, Mary had a question about the dates we were working around. I offhand don't know. I thought you were asking about dates for comment periods and such. I think the board has already acted. The board has already put in, I thought, certain second level restrictions that are pending any changes wrought by the GNSO group. I'm actually not sure if there is anything else on the board's agenda, but I don't know for sure. Does anyone know? Basically, I know the role that I'm playing on this is trying to argue against what I see as this movement for new reserve lists and or second reserve lists or what have you, but have not been paying attention to things like the dates when the GNSO has to do something. Yes, Rudy.
Thank you, Avi, really, for the transcript. Well, a question that comes up to me, what is the utmost that we can do to try to avoid that the NCSG is not considered in by the board for their opinion? Is something we can still send them, kind of questioning on the reasoning behind?
Hey, this is Avery again. Well, I think certainly we are making our views heard within the working group. Certainly when the working group has a initial report, we will have a chance to comment on it. When it has a final report, we will have a chance to comment on it. If we disagree with the decision of the working group and the GNSO, we have the ability to attach a statement that the board has shown that it generally does read and pay attention to the attached statements. Other than that, certainly we can compose and send a letter to the board anytime on the issue if we have a prepared statement that we want to send the board. So I think this is actually one group where, while more participation is always a good thing, we actually have some participation as opposed to some groups where we have very little participation. So go ahead, please, Mary. Thank you.
Thanks, Avery. I switched to the phone, so you guys should hear me better now. So I was thinking of the board's resolution from November, where it asked for the GNSO Council's advice by no later than the end of February, which is the 28th of February. So that was the date I had in mind, and that was specific to, I think, what you mentioned, in the second-level protections using the .int top-level domain, for example. So really, I mean, I'm a member of the working group, as you and Wolfgang are, and it's interesting and frustrating at times. So I suppose my question is really for the counselors, because as you said, Avery, there's nothing up for a vote. But when the council discusses it tomorrow, I mean, is that with the 28th February date in mind? And if so, does it matter whether the working group reaches resolution by the 28th of February? Because it sounds from the board resolution that if we don't tell them, we, the GNSO, don't tell the board, you know, by the end of February or early March or whenever, that they're just going to go ahead with the .int criteria.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks for adding the information. From what you say, yeah, that seems probable, that if we don't do anything, they get what they want. Or if rather the group doesn't do anything, they get what they want.
Avery, this is Mary again. Can I follow up?
Please.
You know, and you know, this group is going as quickly as it can, weekly calls and emails and so forth. I'm just looking at the timetable for council meetings. Again, this may be for the councilors. If the council is supposed to advise the board by the end of February, but obviously we have no substantive recommendations at this point, there's not going to be a council meeting before the end of February in order for us to meet the board's deadlines. So again, it's a question, any idea if the council is going to stall, ask for an extension of time, or provide some interim response?
Good question. Anybody got a clue? Council members? Mary, I guess it just has to stand as a question because it doesn't seem like anyone knows. A hand up. Klaus, please. Klaus, floor is yours. Are you muted? I hear somebody typing loudly. So whoever is typing loudly, please mute yourself. And Klaus, I cannot hear you.
Klaus is still muted, so he should unmute his mic.
Oh. I see. Now his hand is down. But he's still muted. Okay. Well, I'm not sure there's much further we can go on this one at the moment. Anybody? If not, okay. Yes, Mary, please. Go ahead.
Yep, sorry. It was on the same point. So I guess Wolfgang and Magali,
on our call today. I can't remember if, actually, Magli, you're not going to be on the council call on Thursday, are you? I would really like to know from the council what they plan to do, and I say this as a member of the working group, because if we're going to keep going, or if we're not going to keep going, or if we're supposed to do something really quickly, it would be nice to know what the council thinks. If we don't know now, certainly by Thursday, so we have a sense of not just a response, but the time frame we're looking at here.
Thank you. Council members, anything? Wolfgang, what you plan to do?
Nothing to add at this moment.
I must say, I didn't understand that at all.
I said I have nothing to add at this moment.
Okay, thank you. So, I think it's, I guess we wait and see. We also have a IGO-INGO meeting tomorrow, and it actually would be interesting to ask during that meeting whether Thomas has any plans for the discussion and whether, you know, he's going to bring back any request for a delay or anything like that. So perhaps, Mary, your request is something that we should also bring up tomorrow in the IGO-INGO meeting.
Yeah, and I'm happy to, unless you want to, because, you know, it was something I was wondering about last night. I thought maybe it was a stupid question. I guess it's not.
Oh, no, it's definitely not a stupid question, and you might want to, you know, contact Thomas earlier and say, hey, what are we doing? Rudy, yes, I see your hand up, please.
Yeah, thank you, Avery. Rudy here. Well, just a question. Do we know if there is anywhere a kind of ISO table that defines IGOs or INGOs in a way that there is a worldwide definition? I'm thinking about United Nations, UNESCO, and so on. Do they have actually a basis where we can lean on?
Well, I believe that people were using the .int criteria, but and I'm sure there are lots of lists. You know, certainly there's the IGOs. There's a list of IGOs. In terms of INGOs, there's certainly the list of those that have, you know, been accredited by the UN, accredited by ECOSOC, et cetera. So there's all kinds of lists one could go to. I'm not sure, though, how expensive would want to be about the lists in terms of UN, ECOSOC, .INTS list, you know, for IGOs, et cetera. But there certainly are lists. And then also people in MPOC, and they're much better at speaking to this than I am, for, I guess, INGOs, have also offered a set of criteria that only marks a small subset of NGOs. So there's various methods that have been put forward, you know, but at the moment, the IGO working group is really focusing on issues like, is it required that harm is proved? And we haven't even gotten into yet the issues of, okay, we've decided that there will be protections. Now, who gets them and how do they qualify? We're still at the point of saying, on what basis does one get? Does one get a basis on they could show harm? Does one get a basis on belonging to a special club? Does one get special protections by virtue of having some American lawyers who are very persistent and get you that protection? How is protection to be determined? And I don't even think we've gotten that far. And, Rudy, they're not stupid questions. It's a really complicated, messy issue. So, anyone else want to comment on this? I get the comment from Sam. I do not think the UN usually. I think the UN does not accredit. It just gives observer status or participation status. But they, INGOs, do not become somehow official. No, but the UN does have lists of, you know, these people have passed a certain criteria and are therefore on our list of approved observers. But you're right, they're observers. But it's not easy to get on that list either. So, okay. Whereas the ITU's list is much easier to get on. Anything else on the on special privileges for Red Cross Olympic? If not, I'll move on. And moving on to the so-called closed generic TLDs. This is an interesting issue. This is an issue where I believe the NCSG is as divided as any other random selection of people you find on it. We have some people who, unfortunately, I don't know if any of them are on this call, who are incredibly passionate about it being a very, very bad idea and something that must be stopped because it you know, misuses language and misuses the right of the commons to particular words, to people who basically say, this was expected all along. We don't see the problem. How is it different having a name at the second level, you know, all to yourself, having book.com at the second level versus .book, and just don't see the issue on, you know, a closed generic. So we're very divided on it. The discussion is going on. There's an open comment period on a document that closes on 7 March. I put it in the table of things that we need to look at commenting on. But as far as I can tell, we've got a long ways to go. And we may find that the NCSG gets to a point of saying, here, these are the things that people in the NCSG feel are important, but we do not have a group consensus on the issue. I don't know. I open the floor. Does anybody want to comment? Hopefully I was fair to both sides. I'm obviously on one side, not the other. I've made that obvious on the discuss list and elsewhere. This is also an issue that's being discussed in the at-large group I chair, where also there I made my viewpoint known, but then I stood back and sort of said, you know, in that group, I'm chair. I'll play neutral. In this meeting, I'm in the role of chairing the meeting, so I'll try to be neutral, but I have a very strong opinion on it. Yes, Mary.
Thanks, Avery. This is not so much to state my opinion. I thought you did a great job of summarizing the issue as well as giving the arguments on both sides. I think it's a very difficult issue, and I think I agree with you that this may be something where it might be difficult to have a single NCSG statement on one way or the other. It might even be difficult to have a constituency statement, certainly as an NCUC member. I'm not sure that we're even there yet. But quite aside from that, I think my specific point at this juncture is that there's been some discussion about the, you know, non-discrimination clause in the registry agreement. And I believe, and I know this isn't shared by everybody, but that this actually isn't something that's covered by that clause, which I think adds to the difficulty because then first it's a brand new issue in that sense, and secondly there's no existing provision that covers that. Then another point is that, you know, there's nothing in the guidebook that prohibits it. And there's also nothing in the guidebook or the questionnaire that really required that all the applicants, even for closed generics, disclose exactly what they're going to do for the life of the registry. All this is to say, I think that, you know, ICANN needs to be really careful should it choose to move forward with any sort of action on this. It's a difficult issue. There are arguments on both sides. there's nothing right now in ICANN practice that speaks to it, and anything before it will be brand new. So just my two cents in the hope of furthering discussion amongst our group, including those who may not have followed the issue as closely.
Thank you. I see we have David has his hand up, and welcome, David. You now bring the council member participation in this meeting to half. So I thank you very much. Please go ahead, David.
Right. Can you hear me?
Yes. David, we heard you say, do you hear me, but I haven't heard you since.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Right. My understanding is an indirectly connected issue might be the public interest commitment idea that recently surfaced, that some of the closed generics have got early warnings from the GAC, that essentially the ICANN response has been, if you have an early warning and you may make a public interest commitment in your registrar agreement, or you may nominate a way in which you will say you're going to serve the public interest, and you can commit to using your closed TLD in particular ways. This seems to be a sort of... It's saying that this issue seems to be connected, though it's not directly connected. But on the general closed TLD issue, yeah, I don't think we're going to get as Mary says, I don't think we're going to get a constituency agreement on this one, a consensus position on this one. So I guess councillors get to make their own decisions on it. It's my understanding. That's all, really.
Thank you, David. 2 points I'd like to make as I wait for other people to put up their hands. One is that, yes, the PIC or the public interest commitments has been brought up as a solution to many ills and is a process that still holds a lot of questions. Certainly within the at-large new GTLD working group yesterday, people did see a relationship between these and other issues. I'm not quite sure how that would work out, but it is certainly, though there are questions abounding about can somebody add something new to their application, as it were. But anyway, yes, that may. On the issue itself, one of the things that people hear is that this was never discussed as part of the GNSO making its policy. As a person who was there at the time, I can tell you quite honestly that we did discuss the notion of, I think during the time I used to call them the boutique GTLDs, a name that never took off, and used to speak of examples like the notion of somebody being able to get Dot Doria as a family TLD. And at the time, that was an example that came and went several times with no special considerations given to these, oh, my God, that would be a closed TLD, and it was just an example. So I think on my part, looking back, I see a presumption that, yeah, anybody could do anything they wanted with a GTLD. The only rule is all registrars had to be treated equally. And indeed, as Mary said, it can be shown that one could do this and still treat all registrars equally, but that may be more complicated than I'm understanding. David, is that a new hand? David? Nope, it was not a new hand. Anyone else wish to comment on this before we move on? We have about 36 minutes left to this meeting. Okay. I see no hands. In which case, the next topic for the meeting tomorrow that will be discussed is who is Privacy and Proxy Relay and Reveal Study. And that's, I guess, at ICANN meeting in Toronto. Lyman Chapin presented the results of a survey that evaluated the feasibility of conducting a future in-depth study into communications relay and identity reveal requests sent for GTLD domain names registered using proxy and privacy services. The council should consider whether to go ahead with the study. So, I don't know. Is there any opinion in the NCSG on this issue? Anne? Nobody's got a comment?
It's probably a problem for Robin. She knows better about all these issues. I was not in the Toronto News.
Okay, Wolfgang. However, you're going to have the topic in 2 days in the GNSO meeting, so I'm wondering if there's any thoughts on any of the three council members' part on their understanding. Obviously, as council members, they've been studying the issue and are up on it and have sort of initial feelings on what they think is the right thing. So I'm wondering if anybody can speak to that.
My problem is, it's Wolfgang again, that I'm unable to join the council meeting on Thursday because I'm in a meeting in Vienna. Okay, I'm looking for a proxy for the Thursday meeting.
Okay, thank you. Yes, David. David? Floor's yours, David.
Sorry, I keep forgetting whether I'm muted or not. This issue, it's sort of the policy versus implementation issue is sort of turning into two issues here, really. One of which is about how we deal ongoing with a plan for dealing with sort of policy versus staff as a policy is implemented, how we deal with staff. And I think in that, there's a lot of stuff on that in the policy discussion paper. And I think that's actually doing pretty well. I think I think this is going to be a productive process. And it's that's the idea of the things like, you know, getting a process of how we deal with implementation issues, like do we set up an IRT that can be the staff can consult ongoing when they have decisions and stuff like that. I think that's going to be quite productive. We're trying to get rid of this idea that you just throw policy over the wall to staff and then they implement it with no sort of ongoing discussion after that. But there's also this issue of policy versus implementation being used as a way for, say, well, we got this idea of the GAC sort of wrote to us and said, oh, this is implementation, not policy, so you guys can butt out, essentially, of discussion about, and on that the council, I don't think we're that divided, but we're divided into exactly how we should deal with the issue. So in that we understand that it's pretty delicate. So I think there will be some interesting council discussion on this one, but I think we're all generally agreed that we're quite keen for it to be discussed. Are there any sort of issues here that we, other than sort of general positive feeling that we're moving forward usefully here?
David, so what you're saying is your inclination is to continue with the study?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the study, if nothing else, will continue the process of working productively with staff as to how to proceed. I mean, I know in the past it's been this issue about people have argued about the staff of, you know, sort of twisted the interpretation and so on, and I think of policy and the implementation, and I think we're actually getting a productive process that will sort of stop, make that process go a bit smoother. We are basically pushing the involvement of the policy team to later in implementation, I think everyone, staff and policy people, are pretty happy about it. So I'm saying, yeah, this is positive. I think we should support it. It just doesn't answer all the questions on this issue, which will continue to be it will continue to be used as an argument in turf wars with the GAC and so on.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone disagree with that position of, yeah, the study should continue, which seems to be the only question that's really being asked at this week's council meeting? If not, I'll move on by going to the topic I accidentally skipped. But first I want to make sure that there's no more comment on this one that needs to be made. No? Okay. So then, although David, your hand is still up, but I assume that you don't have a further comment to make. If you do, please say, oh, thank you. Okay, the topic I skipped was policy versus implementation. And this is actually one of the issues that I am interested in. It came out of the trademark clearinghouse, but basically staff has reopened up the discussion. I think this is very good. ATRT 1, the Accountability and Transparency Review Team 1, had made understanding the difference between policy and implementation one of their recommendations going forward. Anybody who looked for the answer that the board and others came up with in response to the ATRT request at that point found initially a presentation that essentially said, well, if the NOs do it, it's policy, and if I can't staff does it, it's implementation, and had basically not gone much further. With this trademark clearinghouse issue and so many people screaming about, hey, this is policy, they've actually stepped back and seem to be taking a serious look at it. The staff did put out a paper, which we all have access to. Which I've read and have comments on. It's a paper for discussion. I've put it in the window now. They bring up some very interesting issues. They bring up possible suggestions. For example, in the CCNSO, they have a standing committee on policy versus implementation just because, you know, you never know. Within the PDP, the new PDPs that we have now, every policy working group is supposed to establish an implementation team that basically is in standby and is ready to get into any of those issues, to raise them up to the council or what have you, but we have not seen much implementation of that. At the moment, the policy versus implementation issue is one of the items that is under review. The comment period ends on the 21st of February. The 21st of March is the end of the reply period. I have volunteered myself as one person to try and produce a comment on it. If nothing else, I have some specific comments from the report and basically a encouragement of actually getting into this issue, because I think it's one of the more important issues. And while I don't think there'll ever be a crystal clear dividing line, I do believe that it is possible to come to a conclusion that, you know, sort of for 80% of the things, we know clearly whether it's policy or implementation, and for the other 20%, we have a process for dealing with the uncertainty. I don't have answers to those questions yet, but I believe that this is on the sort of process side of what ICANN's doing, one of the more important questions at the time. So I'm going to try and produce a draft, and I guess I better do it real soon now, of a reply for this. Anyone else wish to comment on this issue at the moment?
Okay.
No? Okay. Okay. Anybody that wants to work with me on producing the first draft of a comment, please let me know. Or when I finally get something written, please comment. I will try not to do what I often do, which is get something submitted at the last minute in my own name. But because of the comment period and reply period, I make a recommendation to all members of the NCSG that, you know, filing a personal opinion during the comment period can very much work, because then the NCSG as well as the constituencies can look at that comment and during the reply period can endorse it if they wish to, or can deny it if they wish to. So it's what I've done several times when I haven't, but now that I've been put on the policy committee, I feel a slight drawing to, I better be more responsible and submit something sooner so that the policy committee at least has time to review it. But I just wanted to mention that. So, Wolfgang, yes, you have a hand raised. Thank you for stopping me from babbling. Go ahead.
About the issue of policy versus implementation, what is your very personal impression? Is this just an artificial problem, or is there something behind this rather, a little bit artificial debate? Is this a trick that, you know, some groups want to get a free hand for something which they want to do without a policy? Or, you know, after reading all the discussions I have seen, for me, it's not really clear whether this is a very serious issue or this is more a part of a political boxing.
Okay. Thank you. Have you read the paper, The Policy versus Implementation Draft Framework?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I tended to see this as a serious work. I tended to see the staff as having been put in a bind where, you know, they're getting yelled at for having taken certain things as implementation when the rest of us thought it was policy. I think it's a serious problem. I think, like anything at ICANN, even serious problems are boxing matches. I tend to see this as more a challenge from the other side, that there has been a fairly free rein in the staff and in certain constituencies to call things implementation and to get their own way. And there's been a certain protest by the rest of us sort of saying, whoa, that's policy. So if anything, I think it's the policy people who are trying to put reins on the implementation as opposed to the implementation trying a trick and trying to get away with something. Because when you get right down to it, ICANN staff has the last call on everything. They are the ones that implement. They are the ones that put out the final statements. They are the ones that fund the various groups. So they really do have the final call on it unless we scream and put reins on it. So I think that this is an issue of sort of saying, okay, we saw in the trademark clearinghouse that you guys screamed. Now, how do we solve this? I'd also say that from my perspective of looking at ATRT1's report that said this is a critical issue for ICANN to resolve and understand, and the fact that ICANN did not do that in response to the ATRT1 report makes this a pressing issue. But that's just my personal viewpoint. Anyone else?
Thank you, Alfie.
So, I recommend that people read this draft. It doesn't take too long. It's only 8 pages. And I think it had a whole lot of good ideas in it and a lot of good questions. So if other people are interested in this topic, please read it and let's engage in a discussion on our discuss list. We have too little discussion on our discuss list. We have let's beat up so-and-so at such-and-such a time discussions, but we have very few policy discussions, and it would be nice to see more policy discussions. Okay, anything else on this one? The next issue on the agenda was proxies requested. I guess we have two people, Magali and Wolfgang, who cannot attend the meeting. Magali already has a proxy in Maria. David, are you planning to attend the meeting? Perhaps you can take Wolfgang's proxy, though it has to be done by Robin, so hopefully she can get the message sent in time. But somebody needs to sign up for Wolfgang's, a G Council member, and you're the only qualified one on the call since Magali won't be there. Anyway, if not, you know, don't feel put upon by me. Robin's got the problem of finding someone. I just figured I'd ask.
No, yes, I'm planning to attend the call, and I'm willing to take Wolfgang's proxy. I'll send an email to Robin.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you. Can I ask a favor of one or both of you is to make sure that Robin knows that so that she can do the formal form.
I'll send an email right now.
Okay, thank you very much.
I meet Robin tomorrow in Vienna, so I will inform her about our decision. Thank you very much.
That's funny. I knew she was going to Vienna, and I knew you were going to Vienna, and I never put it together that you were going to see each other there. It's a big city. What did I know? Anyway, okay. The next thing on Robin's agenda was prep for Beijing ICANN meeting. Start to consider what policy issues do we want to discuss with ICANN board at large and 2 to 3 topics to propose for public forum. I haven't a clue. I open the floor that anybody that wants to speak on this topic. I'm just a dumb chair here, so and I'm not going to prattle on. If nobody's got anything to say, I'll suggest moving the discussion to the discuss list. Yes, Mary, thank you.
It's me again. It's Mary. Wolfgang's on the phone. I was wondering, and I know there's an NCSG call, so I'm just hoping this is fine, but I think it's an event that's of interest, obviously, to NPOP members and others. Is there any update on the proposed NCUC event for Beijing so that people can mark their calendars at least?
Okay, thank you. And I see Wolfgang has his hand up. So, Wolfgang, whatever you were going to say, plus please address Mary's question. You put your hand up.
What I think, you know, we raised some issues with regard to human rights in Toronto. And we got a lot of positive response from Fadim. He's saying, yes, human rights is important. And in Los Angeles, he told us that when he was in Davos, he used the non-commercial user constituency and the non-commercial stakeholder group as an argument to say, okay, this is the difference if it comes to internet governance, what ICANN does. So being in Beijing, the human rights issue should be not presented in a provocative way against the host country. That should be raised as an issue for further ICANN policy making, in particular the human rights aspects, freedom of expression, privacy, both in the REIS and in the UTTRD program. I think this is our core value, fighting for human rights, protection of human rights, and we should use the Beijing meeting and say, you know, we are the group within ICANN, the stakeholder group, which is, works in this direction. So this would be, for me, you know, the main issue, both with meeting with the ICANN board, and in the public forum. And this at large, you know, my personal approach is we have to find a way to build bridges between the various wings of the civil society groups within ICANN. So that means I'm not so happy that we have always, you know, some problems in the relationship with at large, and we should find ways how we can pool our activities so that the net result of the civil society engagement within ICANN is much higher than as it is at this moment. So these are my 2 points.
Okay, thank you. Do you have an answer for Mary's question about the NCUC seminar? And also, I'd be curious to know if Hung Shu's session was happening. Do you have any information on either of those two events?
Yes, you know, we have a small program committee. I'm chairing the program committee. My understanding is that the ICANN organizational team is providing on Monday afternoon a room for 6 hours for around 100 plus people. And we at the program committee has just recently, you know, agreed on a certain draft for the program. We will circulate this as soon as possible because I'm waiting for the response from Hong Shui from China Beijing National University, member of the Large Advisory Committee, a former member of the Large Advisory Committee, you know, is the co-partner in Beijing. And so we have three sessions and two keynote speakers. One invited keynote speaker is Madame Hu, the president of the Internet Society of China, to give us an overview about the Internet policy in China. Madame Hu was a member of the WCAG and is a rather liberal representative of China, but, you know, the bridge has to be built by Hong Shui, so we have no confirmation whether she would be ready to give a speech, and Hong would then, if he denies to give the speech, then Hong is the person who would look for an alternative official representative, because we want to have an official voice from China. And Hong has also promised to bring, you know, local people to this meeting from Bird University, from other academic circles, from other non-governmental organizations, so that we expect around 20, 30 people from China, plus our NC stakeholder group people, which is about 30, 40, and then 20 or 30 more from other constituencies of ICANN. Because the good thing is just after the opening ceremony and Monday afternoon is rather free. But also up to date, we have no confirmation whether ICANN has finally booked the room. So that means we are still in a more or less limbo situation, and we hope to clarify all this until the end of February so that we can then make public announcements and can do more outreach early in March. Members of the program committee are Robin Cross, Bill Drake, Milton Miller, I think it's Avi, me, and Hong Shui. So, and we are just working on the titles for the three sessions, and we are discussing the names which panelists should be invited and the names of the moderators. But the two keynote speakers are Madame Hu from China and Fadi or somebody else from the ICANN leadership.
Okay, thank you. So thanks for the details. So I understand that there's one session, there aren't two, and that it is probably Monday afternoon, which is good. And so I think we'll put this, I'll recommend putting this on the agenda for next time so that we can get another report and definitely look forward to further comment on it, further hearing about it. And having Madame Hu, who I worked with in WCAG, give a speech is wonderful. I hope it happens. Anybody else have anything else to say about the Beijing planning? Do people all have their visas that are going? I've got mine. After I got all the paperwork, it wasn't hard. I recommend, though, that anybody that's thinking of going be working on their visa. Anybody else have anything to say about prep for the Beijing meeting? Okay, what I'll recommend to Robin and I recommend to all of you is that we make this a discussion list discussion also, and that we start basically doing a little bit of talk around, and I accept that Wolfgang put the human rights issue on the agenda as one of the things that we would want to discuss with the board at large and the public forum, but we probably need more specific topics and perhaps even volunteers to start thinking about how we craft statements. On in terms of at large and working with them, I know as a person that now has a foot in each of the organizations, and you know, I chair a group in at large and I participate in a bunch of groups in GNSO and I'm on the NCSG policy committee. I think one of the greatest ways to build bridges is to have bunches of people, and I know Rudy is another one, who work in both environments and who participate in both environments and such, because I believe that, you know, our potentials and our roles and responsibilities within ICANN are complementary. So, you know, I think that's certainly one way to build bridges. I certainly feel like I can offer a little bit of bridging between the two groups, and I think that's true of other people as well. We also have, you know, a liaison from ALAC, the advisor committee that sits atop the bottom-up at-large organization, as a liaison, Evan, who is here. So, you know, I think many, many tentative bridges we have, and I think we can work together. Okay, I only have 10 minutes left. Are there any last statements on Beijing, or can we take that to the discuss list? Okay, ending that one. We come to any other business, and Amr, I believe it was you wanted to give an update on SIC Who Is, so please, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Aubrey. Yeah, when this working group started its work back in November, I was a bit concerned. I felt that most of the members had this predisposed notion that SIC Who Is was going to be recommended by the working group. There would be no trouble. I'm happy to say that the statements that came in from the different constituencies and stakeholder groups about a few weeks ago have changed that, especially the NCUC statement as well as the NPOC statement. We've highlighted some real concerns regarding the transfer of registrant data across borders and across different legal jurisdictions, as well as different privacy and data protection concerns. And right now, this has really stimulated the working group into some very, well, at sometimes aggressive debates on how we're going to handle this issue. And the way it seems to me is that there are a number of individuals on the working group who are really willing to consider this issue very seriously, provided that NCUC and MPOC both provide concrete examples of how this is going to be a problem. I think this request stems from the fact that most WHOIS data is already public, so people don't consider it a problem, and a lot of the members of the working group also seems to have the idea that the mandate or the scope of the working group was focused more on transition of existing GTLD registries from thin to thick, pretty much meaning VeriSign and .com. But actually, the scope of the working group also covers all future GTLD registries. So I think Roy Balesi, who is also on the working group but is not on the call today, I think is making some pretty good progress regarding the concrete examples concerning EU legislation. I was hoping if anyone else in NCSG had any experience with the laws in countries that have data protection laws, would also step up with some of the examples that would help. I think that's about it. Avi, you're also on the working group. Is there anything else that's important that we should mention right now?
Sorry, I was muted. I can mention one thing in the last couple minutes. I've been having a lot of conversations with the chair of the group, Mikey, about the issue in the background and trying to locate in a chart exactly where the issue lies in terms of the various databases and the various chains. And I think we've actually come to an understanding where he sees the point. I'm not sure he agrees with it yet, but he sees the point. And one of the things that's occurred to me is, you know, we have one of the problems we have is that the registrars in Europe, basically the way the ICANN rules are written is unless they are told by a court that they are doing something wrong because they're following ICANN instructions instead of their own in terms of policy, they don't have the ability to just say, hey, this does not match my country, therefore I'm going to do something different. They have to actually be challenged and be told, hey, you need to change your behavior before they're allowed to disobey the ICANN rules on who is display. I've certainly been wondering, why is it that no European organization, person, or anything has ever challenged any of the registrars and said, wait a second, you're displaying my personal information. That's against the law here. Stop it. And has actually, you know, everybody in this group is saying, what? There's been no court cases. There's no court cases. You've got nothing to balance your argument on. And I keep hoping and praying that, you know, someone is going to take their European registrars to court for breaking European law, if indeed that is what they're doing. But that's just a hope. But anyhow, that's where the discussion is. I totally endorse Amr's request. And Roy is working on it, too, to help us get concrete information as to why is this against the law? And what laws is it against in various countries to display people's names and addresses and telephone numbers? And I know a lot of people aren't worried about it because they've hidden that information, but ICANN is getting much better at compliance. There's been a big push on ICANN on compliance for who is. Eventually, it will be a problem. Now, we've seen that the European Justice Commissioner, just in the last days, is saying, no U.S. corporations. We are not going to make our privacy rules easier for you. So I'm really hoping that our European participants who come from a more enlightened policy regime will actually be able to do something to help us in this discussion. That's about it from me. Anyone else have a comment?
I was wondering regarding the lack of previous court cases where registrars actually got in trouble for transferring registrant data across borders. And I was wondering if this is because the only example I can think of when this really happened on a large scale was with the PIR transition from Synthetic. And this was back in 2003. I'm wondering if EU laws were the same then as they are right now regarding data privacy.
I don't believe it was at the time of PIR, but certainly someone that's a legal historian could probably answer that more specifically. But the European privacy issues has been, building over the last couple years. And at the time of PIR, even if the rules were the case, then nobody was talking about it.
Okay. All right, thanks. Well, that's all for me. Thanks.
Okay. So we're 1 minute before the closing hour. Anybody have any last thing to say? No? In which case, I thank you.
Thank you, Avi.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Wolfgang,
I want to say thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Wolfgang. Yes, I thank you all for putting up with me in Robin's absence. Wish you all a good month and good doing stuff. And please, let's discuss all this stuff on the list. As a member of the NCSG Policy Committee, I promise to nag you all about contributing to comments and various ongoing issues. So thanks a lot, and I'll talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.